a dozen. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. Leslie Stimson in Radio World reports that last week, FCC Commissioner Michael O'Reilly released a gerrymad on pirate radio broadcasting. His proposal would let corporate broadcasters take pirates to court and is modeled after the Canned Spam Act that lets ISPs sue spammers. But the Republican commissioner's declaration of war is a strange one, as it admits that, quote, stopping pirate radio is not at the top of the priority list, unquote. It also seems to use the form of a posted online press release to fight the public relations battle the FCC has been losing to glamorous pirates. Quote, they are not cute, they are not filling a niche, they are not innovation test beds, and they are not training grounds for future broadcasters, unquote, O'Reilly writes. He also says, quote, pirate radio does not increase media diversity. From time to time, arguments have been made that we should look the other way because some pirate radio operators may be minorities or the station's content appeals to minority listeners, unquote. Instead, O'Reilly offers that, quote, approaches like the National Association of Broadcasters Broadcast Leadership Training Program should be encouraged to prepare underrepresented populations for leadership and ownership positions in broadcasting, unquote. Then, for the underrepresented minorities with lots of money to spend, he says, quote, alternatively, those truly interested in operating a legal broadcast station can seek to participate in the Commission's July 2015 auction, in which 131 FM construction permits will be available, many in smaller and less expensive markets, unquote. A day after O'Reilly's statement on April 9th, the FCC issued a $15,000 fine against Jose Alejandro Aguera for operating a pirate radio station in Louisville, Kentucky. Aguera was operating Radio Passion 316 on 87.5 FM and 99.5 FM in Louisville, Kentucky. Currently, other broadcasters cannot sue him, but he has 30 days to pay the FCC, or the case may be turned over to the Justice Department for collection, Radio World reports. Wayne Heilman in the Colorado Springs Gazette reports that a business there has leased time on KHIG 1580 AM, flipping the format from all sports talk programming from Fox Sports and ESPN to a pro-marijuana format, said to be the first in the nation. Southern Colorado Radio is leasing airtime from Vero Beach, Florida-based Pilgrim Communications and began the new format on air April 13th. Quote, we didn't want to lease the station and continue to lose money, so we said, let's do something different and give voice to the marijuana industry. Marijuana is socially acceptable, especially in Colorado, and is a big and growing business sector in this state. It made too much sense to pass up, general manager and owner Michael Narr told the paper. KHIGAM is starting with three local shows, Wake and Bake 7 to 9 a.m., High Noon from noon to 1 p.m., and High Drive from 5 to 7 p.m. weekdays. The station also broadcasts 3 one-hour newscasts from the Los Angeles-based National Marijuana News Service and includes other transmissions from the Chicago-based Radio MD network. According to Len Williams, program director for both KHIG and another local sports radio station. Michael Robertson Westward reports that in 2012, a Denver radio station at 107.1 FM temporarily changed from an EDM format into Pot 107.1, all marijuana. That was just a publicity stunt, though. KHIG appears, with marijuana legal in the state and a healthy tourist trade in Colorado Springs, to have a business plan beyond short-term publicity. There are other similar radio projects, as Pacifica also carries other pot-themed radio shows or segments, including 420 Drug War News from Dean Becker of KPFT in Houston and the Cannabis Radio News from KVMR in Nevada City, California. Federal Communications Commission just released its radio census for the quarter ending March 31st, with 87 more low-power FM stations than 3 months before and 63 more FM translators and boosters. There were 3 fewer AM stations, but 7 more commercial FM stations and 6 more non-commercial full-power stations, Radio Survivor reports. And as there's more outlets and other audio possibilities with expanding digital delivery systems that can all seem bewildering to institutions from the transistor radio age.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing off.
Ron Nixon in the New York Times reports that David Enzor, the director of Voice of America, announced last week that he's stepping down. Congress has been consistently cutting the budget for exporting audio propaganda, but Enzor still built a worldwide audience of 172 million people a week, up 49 million during his tenure, according to the Times. And he's not the only one leaving. Last month, Andrew Lack resigned as chief executive of the Broadcasting Board of Governors to return to NBC Universal after just 42 days in the post. Then Paul Rimsmondale, a radio survivor, reports that the Pacifica Foundation has found a new executive director, John Prophet, who was general manager of Houston public radio station KUHF until the end of 2011. He co-hosts Thresholds and Open Journal, now at Pacifica's KPFT, also in Houston. Last year, Pacifica's national board fired former executive director Summer Reese, who then occupied the foundation's national offices for nearly 2 months. Eventually, a judge issued a restraining order to end the stalemate. Now Pacifica and the Voice of America, two institutions with roots in the Cold War era, need to transition into an era where the audio devices are the same size as transistor radios, but do so much more. 538.com reports that 22 million Americans are smartphone dependent, about 7% of the total population that has only access to the internet on their handheld device. African Americans, Hispanics, 18 to 29-year-olds, and people from households earning less than $30,000 per year are all twice as likely as an average smartphone user to be smartphone dependent, according to the story. Perhaps this is an audience that public radio could serve in the 21st century. Federal Communications Commission Chairman Tom Wheeler signaled with a blog post April 13th that he's ready to move forward on the AM radio revitalization plan, with a report and order soon that will, quote, buttress AM broadcast service and ease regulatory burdens on AM broadcasters, unquote. Inside Radio reported that Wheeler's post, quote, landed with a thud at the National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas, unquote. Many commercial broadcasters hoped for an AM-only filing window for FM translators, but Wheeler wrote that he has, quote, concerns, unquote, about that idea. Quote, I have two concerns about the record and whether opening such a window is necessary, given the current state of the marketplace. The first is whether there is an insufficient number of FM translator licenses available for AM stations. The second unanswered concern is why, if it is necessary to open the translator window, it should only be open for one group. But if we are to assure that Spectrum's availability is an open opportunity, then the government shouldn't favor one class of licensees with an exclusive Spectrum opportunity unavailable to others just because the company owns a license in the AM band, unquote. Instead of AM broadcasters getting first dibs on some FM frequencies, Wheeler's report and order will tweak regulations, making a few burdens less on broadcasters, giving, quote, stations more flexibility in choosing site locations, complying with local zoning requirements, obtaining power increases, and incorporating energy-efficient technologies, unquote, is what Wheeler's proposal will do. It will get support from AM radio owners, but it won't be any special cause for the broadcast industry or activist groups, and it won't do anything to reverse the cultural change away from analog to digital radio. NAB Executive Vice President of Communications Dennis Wharton issued a statement after Wheeler's post went public saying that, quote, the NAB is grateful Chairman Wheeler has announced plans to circulate an item to his FCC colleagues designed to revitalize AM radio. AM broadcasters have uniquely served local communities for nearly 100 years. The time is ripe for the FCC to follow through on the tremendous efforts of Commissioners Clyburn and Pai so that AM broadcasters can continue to play a vital role in the fabric of our nation. We look forward to working with the Chairman and the Commissioners to help ensure the item ultimately adopted serves the American public in the best manner possible, unquote. The news that net neutrality passed the FCC, that there would be no fast lane on the internet for corporations who have more resources than the average consumer, was surprising in that, in this case, corporate interests didn't get their way. So on April 15th, when the
FCC actually published the rules in the Federal Register for net neutrality, all heck broke loose. In Congress, Doug Collins, a Georgia Republican, sponsored a resolution of disapproval, an expedited legislative process that cannot be amended or filibustered. President Barack Obama would likely veto the resolution if it passes, so this is another one of those sideshows for the folks back home that historically will be considered normal for this legislative era. In the 2010 Congress, they passed a net neutrality legislation that Republicans sponsored a resolution of disapproval against that went nowhere, and then the courts eventually struck down the law. So that is where we stand with things now, too, as everyone waits for the court rulings. Todd R. Weiss in eWeek reports that there are now at least 6 or 7 lawsuits against the FCC from AT&T, the CTIA Mobile Trade Association, the National Cable and Telecommunications Association, the American Cable Association, U.S. Telecom, and Alamo Broadband. And the Washington Post reports a small Texas-based internet provider has appealed in New Orleans, which means a venue lottery will be held. Trade associations believe that the D.C. circuit was home turf, that the court there that has twice ruled against different versions of net neutrality was where they wanted this case to take place. Now a lottery will decide the fate of consumer access and the cost of internet services. Free Press has launched a campaign against the congressional action, but there's not much else to do but to wait for that lottery and then the court decision to find out what happens with net neutrality.
Good.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News, and that was Digital Witness from St. Vincent from her 2014 album. I'm Tom Rowe, coming to you from the Wave Farm in upstate New York, where we gather the week's radio news every week, and this week we're traveling to Glasgow, Scotland, for Radiophrenia, a week-long temporary art radio station.
Radiophrenia, the light at the end of the dial. 87.9 FM.
The Glasgow Radio Art Project has been airing on 87.9 FM from April 13th to April 19th. Radiophrenia is a temporary art radio station broadcasting live from Glasgow's Center for Contemporary Arts. The station aims to promote radio as an art form, encouraging challenging and radical new approaches to the medium. You can go to radiophrenia.scot for Scotland for more information, or search for Radiophrenia online. They also have a SoundCloud page. We're going to sample a few of their works. We just heard one of their jingles, and next up we're going to hear The Letter from Annie Higgin, and also Frauhaus and Game Assembly Part 1 from Radiophrenia, Radio Art Festival this week in Glasgow, Scotland.
17th from the 31st of March.
We have looked.
This letter is information only.
You claimed job seekers' allowance from the 1st of October. We have looked at your backdated claim and decided that you have not satisfied the labour market
conditions. We have
decided
to stop paying job seekers' allowance because we have not received the JSA.
I am writing to you to
tell you we
sent to
you
on the 17th of February. We have looked at your claim again following a recent change. We cannot pay you job seekers' allowance from the 7th of April.
We are unable to pay you job seekers' allowance from the 3rd of September to the 5th of December.
About a doubt on your efforts.
We are unable to pay you job seekers' allowance from the 3rd of September to the 5th of December.
Job seekers' allowance, as it appears that from the 7th of April to the 16th of April,
you
may not
have
taken
seekers' allowance.
We have been told that
you have failed to attend an appointment
in the work
program
of February
by failing to
that
we have looked
at your claim following a recent change. Told you
we
to
cannot
do.
Pay you job seekers' allowance.
We need
from
to
the 29th
review
September.
Your entitlement
we
to job seekers' allowance.
Because
we
recently told
we
you
are paying
that
you the correct
a decision
of benefit.
Will be made about a doubt on whether you fail to comply with the
requirements
of the scheme to which
job seekers'
you have
allowance
been referred.
JSA 2 form.
Please answer all questions by ticking either the yes
please
or
provide
no
answers to the questions on the back of this
please
letter.
Please reply to this letter within 1 calendar month of the date on this letter.
Decision.
You must send the information to us by the
please
6th of April.
Complete
the attached Vol Work JP.
You must return
the completed form to us by the 31st
changes
of March.
Changes to Home Office regulations from
we
the 1st of January
pay.
2014 mean that your right to recite as a job seeker
leaflet
or someone who retains worker status will be limited to 6 months.
It is important that you read
unless
it.
Unless at the end of
under
this
Section
period,
22
you can
of the Social Security Act 1998,
you are still actively
a failure
work
to return has completed JSA 2 form
by
the date above
evidence,
may result in the payment of your benefit
of
being stopped.
Change
even if you sign
office,
at the job centre to say
will no longer
that there
have
been
right
no changes to your circumstances.
We have now decided that from
status,
7th of April
we will
to
close
the 6th of April
arranged
to interview
you.
Did not actively seek
the interview
work.
Could last up to an hour.
Sanctioned.
The interview is for you to present evidence that shows that you are still actively seeking work, and also
you should
have a genuine
that unless
if
you
fail to do so,
good
we may cancel not your entitlement to benefits. Your benefit will be affected.
We have now decided that you did not comply with the requirements of the scheme to which you have been referred,
and that you did not have sufficient good reason for doing so.
We have also decided
this decision
that you have
from
not
the 29th
shown good
cause
to
the
for the delay in making your claim.
You must come to interviews when asked to do so.
As a result of this decision, your benefit has been sanctioned. The enclosed leaflet explains how to apply for payments under the Job Seekers Allowance Hardship Provision. To find out more about
if
this,
you think
ask
you may be entitled
leaflet to such a payment, too. Please contact this office
if this
as soon
decision
as possible.
Causes you hardship, please get in touch.
If you think this decision is wrong, please get in touch with us.
As long as you are still looking for work,
you should continue
to provide
the only action you can take to prevent benefit from being stopped
is to return a completed
JSA. Do not reply to your job center.
Please use the envelope.
You cannot appeal against this decision.
A new law has been passed that allows us to impose these sanctions.
So the man could hear, he could not feel. The sounds were reaching his ear, but for some reason, the emotional message was totally lost.
Radiophrenia, the light at the end of the dial.
You've already assembled that.
But he hasn't done two things before.
That's the mixed quick pyramid. As you can see, it's already assembled.
Do we put it on that round thing here?
Where does this go?
It's a cup.
I reckon they can go in those three holes in that bit. What?
That's the plug tongs
on the thing. Really
no, that's not for that. That's for this here.
This is not. Well, this. I thought it's this because this is different.
These are like crystal. These are kind of milky. They're like rocks.
Those were works from Radiophrenia, a week-long Glasgow art radio station that's set up April 13th through April 19th through the Glasgow Centre for Contemporary Art. I'm Tom Rowe. You've been listening to This Week in Radio News. That was Frau House with Game Assembly Part 1 and the letter from Annie Higgin. Well, as a few Radiophrenia jingles from the Radiophrenia SoundCloud page. You can go to soundcloud.com/radiophrenia or go to radiophrenia.scot Scotland, radiophrenia.scot for more information about the festival. This is Tom Rowe from Wave Farm reporting radio news about radio waves. Now A.O. Hirsch is taking us out with Rowe from Radiophrenia, the Glasgow-based temporary art radio station this week. The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.